like this that we see the enormous koach of someone who lives without worry and with bitachon in LeDavid HaShemori. What does David HaMelech say? Let's think about the words. In tachon alay machaneh lo yir libi. In tachon alay machama besos nibotech. I mean, when you think about it, Tzur Pshuta, we consider a rocket coming with a probably 1 in 10 billion chance it'll hit us. And we get nervous, you know? You get nervous. David HaMelech sees a machana and a milchama in front of him and he doesn't get nervous. That's why it's an amazing thing. Right? That's the call of someone who can live without worry. And lest you say, well, that's David HaMelech. I mean, David HaMelech was David HaMelech. What does that have to do with us? So the truth is, really, it's a pasuk in Dvarim Chof Aleph. Ki teitzim l'milchama aloi vecha. You go to Mechav, Rizah Sus V'Rechav, Amrav, Mimcha. You see a disproportionate battle in front of you. That's what it is, Amrav, Mimcha. More than you. Lo Sir Miyam, you shouldn't be scared of them. Now, that Pasuk L'char, we could have gotten off, got him in Docha also and said that story about Bizman, those Muhammads, Hashem was with them, they had the Haftacha, etc. That has nothing to do with us today. But Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, right, the Sefer of the season, says, takes us not to just to other Muhammads, but he takes it as a klal in life. Who's harnu bezeh? It's a lav. She'im yira adam ki tzara krova. Person sees a tzara is krova. Tzara is coming to him. Tiye Yeshua Hashem belvavcho v'yivtach aleha. Unbelievable. Who's harnu bezeh? It's not just a klal. It's a klal on any tzara. Tzara is coming. You have to have Yeshua Hashem in your heart v'yivtach aleha. And you have to be sure of it. She'nemar ach krov liyirav yishov. Chen kasuv miad v'tiri me'enosh yamos. Unbelievable. So I mean, you know, the point of the shiur, our little talk, is not to push Makaris down our face. I want to deal with things a little bit practical, but you see that this is something which is in our realm, you know? Again, whether we pass this Rabbeinu or not, I don't know, I have to look into it, but we're far away from this, to say the least, and we worry about all types of things. Halavai, that we would just worry about the ones that are in front of us that present some danger, you know? That. But even those that are far away, something which might be, theoretically, this might happen, etc. We get nervous about that. And even those that don't exist anywhere except in our heads, we're worried about. So we're really far away. So first, just to set up the sugya, two things that we're not going to speak about. There is a real sugya called daiga for mitzvahs. This is a fascinating thing. It's something called being doeg for mitzvahs, daiga, doeg for mitzvahs. A yid is concerned about how to do a mitzvah well. Like Gemara in Shabbos says that a pei vav amabez or pei dalet amabez, that zera in a Jewess, that if a Jewess has zera in her, right, it goes off faster than it would in a non-Jewish body. Yeah, this is a Gemara. So the Gemara says, Yisrael, the digibi b'mitzvahs chavu gufayav. Klal Yisrael that are doing for mitzvahs, that are concerned about mitzvahs, are chavu gufayav. Their bodies are warm. Gemara. Rashi says on the spot, they're nervous. A yid's nervous about doing mitzvahs well. You get nervous, you feel a little hot. I feel nervous sometimes to speak this, right? That a Jew has because of the mitzvahs. And a Jewish woman's body, is mitchamim more than a non-Jew. David HaMelech said, my heart is hot inside of me. Unbelievable. Okay? So we're not talking about that, the sugya of daigu mitzvahs. We're not talking about that. And we're also not talking about, in all matters, a person plans, executes, and does things responsibly. That's not daiga. You have a plan. You have taking a trip. Everybody's going to America, right? So you trip. A lot of different parts, a lot of different times. One plans carefully and comprehensively, and then he has to be omit in all of his details and carry everything out. That's not daiga, right? So what we're not talking about, daiga for mitzvahs, as we've spoken about in another context. What's the realm of that? Obviously, it doesn't mean being OCD about mitzvahs, but whatever it means, it's something called being doeg for mitzvahs and being cham because of my da'aga for mitzvahs. And there's something called planning a trip and doing it correctly and executing properly. That's not da'aga, doing something in a correct, comprehensive way. But we speak out of the realm of those things. Right? What are we speaking about? Good old worry. I'm not planning next year, but I'm just concerned about what's going to be. Right? To sit and think during this time. This is a Rishon Salanta would review his whole year Yom Kippur. On the Yom Kippur, what he wanted to do, not what went on. Someone came to him with a good plan in the middle of the year, and as he said, it's a great plan, but it's not for me this year. My whole year is planned on Yom Kippur already, right? We're not talking about planning. That's not. But which time I'm worried, I'm concerned. I have this like faint feeling. I just maybe things aren't going to be right. I don't know. Plans are plans. No toelis. Where will I be? What will I do? What will things look like? What will people think of me? Right. That's the sugya. So what's so bad about it? So bonachshav biyachad. We're going to, like I said on the sign, we're trying on two levels to deal with in seichel alone. In general, we have a seichel, right? Not everything is just makaris, sources, etc. We have a seichel, and we have to use our seichel to understand things, overcome things, and define them and think what they are. And a seichel alone, and from a Torah perspective, okay? Seichel, again, means just being an intelligent human being. How could we look at it? As bo nachshav. So there's a famous ma'isa, I mentioned the shmuz before, before Tisha B'Av, that Plato saw Yirmiyahu crying for the Chorban. That's brought down. And Ramah brings it down with the Ramah's farm, I believe. Makaris Ne'monim, to bring this story. So Plato saw Yirmiyahu crying for the Chorban. He asked him two questions. He says, one, why would you cry in sticks and stones? Why cry in sticks and stones? Two, it's not the Derech HaChachma of Kod Al Avar. So, you know, Yirmiyahu famously said to him, give me your best questions. And he answered all the questions. And Plato is Mishdomeim. He says, you know, all that I could answer, Plato's best questions were good questions, right? He was no dummy. He says, all that I could answer such questions came from that place. That's why I cry for those sticks and stones. And that you asked me, it's not the way of Chachma, it's not an intelligent thing to cry for the Avar, I can't explain to you. Now, let's just focus on that part. Plato asks Yirmiyahu, why cry about the past? Yirmiyahu says, I can't explain to you. Now, what does that mean? The way I understand that means, in Chachma, Yirmiyahu is right. In Chachma, Plato's right. He's no dummy. He meant, but there's some higher Torah place of understanding the tears for the cry, for crying for the past. But that means, in Chachma, right, Chachma going Tamban, in Pashtus, Plato's right. It's simple to us, because we grow up with crying for people who have passed away, or Lolein, or crying for the Chorban, or right, Jews are full of tears. We like to cry, right? So that makes sense. But in Chachma, it doesn't really make any sense. What's Plato saying? It's over. It's over. Now you got to go on. So what's your tears going to do? So in Chachma, it doesn't make any sense. So some deeper Torah answer that Plato couldn't understand that Yirmiyahu didn't have to say to him. But I just want to focus on that. So if we think about that, about what Plato said, that means in Chachma, there is no Chachma in crying for the past. Well, Kol Shekein, well, the more so, there's no Chachma in worrying about the future. Yeah, just like the past doesn't make sense to... You know, don't cry over spilled milk, right? That's a smart statement. Don't cry over spilled milk. The milk is spilled. Let's be nervous about it. Let's be upset about it. No, it doesn't make any sense. I want to speak out six reasons why I think it's true. And in fact, we have a Mamar HaChacham. I think it's found in Ibn Ezra somewhere. I didn't check it up. But it's also a song. Havar Ayin, the past is not. Latida Dayin, and the future is not yet. Vahova Karif Ayin, and the present is... a blink of the eye. Daigin min ayin. So where's daigin come from? Avar ayin. Atira daigin. Hove keherif ayin. The daigin min ayin. So what are you worried about? Right? So
people think it's planning. You said planning.
Right, planning. Right. Planning is planning.
That's what people think they're doing when they get in.
Right, right. People think they're planning. But they're not. You're not really, right? So why is it bad to be doig? So I want to give five reasons in seichel, and then we'll talk in the Torah. Six reasons in seichel. One is you don't know what's going to be. That's a fact you don't know. It doesn't make any sense to worry about something that you don't know. I'm worried about this possibility, but it might not be. And you don't know what will be. You never know what will be. When someone, you know, it's unbelievable the world today. You know, they say, so I was listening one time, it said that, you know, that things change so fast in the Middle East. By the time this program's over, who knows what's going to be. Now we have to worry about, the Western powers are going to go into a Brit with Iran to beat up on Daesh. Which is bad for us. I mean, no one even knew what Daesh was 3 months ago. It's crazy. Now they're already, they're a world figure. They're a world player. We're getting planes, getting this. And we don't know what's going to be. So you're worried about something which you don't know. So in Seichel, that doesn't, in Seichel, you have to think strongly in Seichel in your mind. It doesn't make any sense to be concerned about something which you don't know what will be. Let's even say you know. Let's even say I know, right? But how do you know it's going to be worse than what you think? Again, I'm not talking about bitachon. I'm talking about bitachon afterwards. But I'm worried about this possibility. This might happen to me, right? Now, what does that mean? It means because you think that that's worse for you. So again, so aleph is you don't even know. Bet is that even if that happens, how do you know it's going to be worse for you? How many people have gotten, you know, fired, etc., and they're crushed and down and out for it, and afterwards a whole new job opens up to them, and all new possibilities, and they were entrenched in their old, they were entrenched in their old position, Lamashal, and they were stuck there, and now suddenly they're free. But I could never imagine that. So when you, I'm worried I'm going to get fired. That's a terrible thing, but I get fired, and now the whole world opens up to me, which would have never opened up to me, Lamashal. I have another, I know of a recent case. You can give 100 cases, just to make it a little, to mamchish the point. A recent case of someone who owns an apartment he rented out. And he had an excellent tenant for 3 years. And this excellent tenant says he's leaving, going back to his wife, leaving. So the owner of the apartment is nervous. Look, I had a good tenant. What's going to be? The apartment's going to stand empty now. I'm not going to get the rent. I'm not going to be able to pay the mishkanta. It's terrible, right? You wish that renter would be. Now, what happened? At the end of the day, he found a renter. I'll tell you this exact story. He found a renter. Loan me boy that he didn't have any lag time. He had an overlap. You understand? That guy was already living with his wife, etc. Got remarried his wife. So now he was really supposed to leave, let's say, on the 10th. So he's getting paid from that guy from the 10th, and he wasn't told by the money. And the other guy came at the 7th. So between the 7th and the 10th, he was getting double pay. Yeah. And he raised the rent 20%. And the new guy's a Kabbalan. It's a true story. The new guy's a Kabbalan. He puts Saragim in. He puts in a new air conditioner. He cleans up the apartment. He paints it, you know. He puts up a pergola for Sukkot. The whole thing. So now, so you're doing much better, but you're nervous that it's all going to go down. But really, it's a whole better, a much better future came out for you. And there's a zillion, you know, every person in their own life could tell their own stories about that, but we don't remember. That's the second reason. Three, your worry doesn't affect anything. It just doesn't affect. You're not going to be mashpia. Let's even say it made sense, right? We're saying one, you don't know what's going to be. Two, even if you know what's going to be, how do you know it's worse? Three, you're not affecting anything. So why are you worried? Four, your worry affects your happiness. Everybody's a little bit worried, right? Knows it affects my happiness. I'm not as happy as I can be. So why is the worry worth my happiness? No. Five, your worry helps that you don't put full koach, not just in terms of happiness, it makes you don't put full koach into the present, right? I'm nervous that this thing happens. Let's say that much. I'm not going to be good with my tenant because maybe he's going to leave, right? Put your koach into what you're doing. You're worried you're going to get fired from a job. You're worried you're going to leave the apartment. Right now, put your koach into what you're doing. In seichel, it doesn't make sense. You're in a situation. Do it well. But my worry makes me think maybe things will be worse, so I don't do what I'm doing as an effective way. Right now, things are good. Live it up. But I'm concerned about the future, so I don't dig in now. But it's great. So, guys, I'm going to leave yeshiva now. Leave yeshiva. You're in yeshiva now. Live it up. What? Stay. Enjoy. No, but I'm worried. I might leave in 6 months. So what? Right now you're doing great. Okay. And six, our final reasons, you waste your precious mind. Right? Not just happiness, but your mind. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. When I was younger, they had a commercial, the Black League, you know, anti-defamation league. I forget what, not the anti-defamation, Jewish, but they had a picture of a guy, a cell closing on a black guy, you know. Urban League, I forgot what it was, but it said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Our mind is such a precious thing. So now, as much as we understand where worry is, I'm not talking like a psychologist, somewhere up there in the mind, and it's, you know, taking place in my thoughts. And, you know, there's so many great, important, and interesting things to think about. There are a lot of interesting things out there, you know. Like your life says, why am I not attracted? I have a lot of interesting things to think about, you know. So all these reasons, it's not safe. Let's just go over the six again. I'm sure there are more. You don't know what's going to be. Even if you did know, maybe it's going to be better. You're not affecting anything. You are affecting your happiness. Four, five, because of your worry, you don't put koach into what you're doing now. And six, you're wasting your precious mind. So those are six sickly reasons. I.e., even if we didn't have a Torah, and we wouldn't be going to the second part of our little talk, a person, b'seichel, could say, just like Plato said to Yirmiyahu about the past, we could say there's no reason for me to be worried about the future because it doesn't make any sense. Okay, that's the foolishness. That's what foolishness meant. Now, that's on the side of seichel. So let's go now from a Torah perspective. So first off, as we mentioned before, we have Rabbeinu Yonah. You know, could be it's an Isser. I mean, it could be it's Usser. So again, whether Rabbeinu Yonah is Nifsak or not, I don't know. It's one of the Gedolei Rishonim, one of the biggest books, Shari Tshuva. So I don't want to push that point, but that there is something over here. It's Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, obviously. Two, Bitachon. Worry is the direct opposite of Bitachon. What's Bitachon say? Hashem is taking care of me. And everything happening to me is exactly for my good. Like the Rishiva Zatzal used to say, if it could be any better, it would be. Beautiful. Right? If it could be any better, it would be. Think about those words. Like Kadarka always, that he knew how to be mitzamtim something in the best way. If it could be any better, it would be. So why think things will be bad in the future? Right? Who's writing the script? History is his story. And he's the best script writer that ever was. And he's writing a special script for each and every one of us. So what are you nervous about? And specifically, let's talk about what we worked on before. I'm hoping for a certain result. So Chachma says to me, how do you know that's better than the other result? Bitachon says to me, if it will be better, if it will be different, it's because this result is better, you just don't know it. Yeah? In other words, I can attack that point. I am nervous, I want this result to come out, I don't know if it'll come out, right? So Chachma can attack that by saying all the things we said, but specifically, you don't know what's going to be, or maybe that thing will be better. In Chachma, maybe that thing will be better without God. But when I put God in the picture, if it's going to be different, and it's going to be this way and that means because that thing is taka best for me. That's why it came out that way. Now, I was... And a way to be mechazik in that point is to find dugmaot in our own life of that. When something ended up different, but better than we found and the way we thought it would be. And someone told me, Shalva Schneider, Brian Schneider's wife, so someone said to her, 2 years ago you had a baby boy. It was a good year. Last year, little Elena, she was sick. It was a bad year. So she said back to the person, you think it was a bad year? It was a good year. I grew as a person this year. And now, Baruch Hashem, she got mostly over the sickness. But I grew as a person this year. She definitely went through the therapy. She went through all the stuff. I grew as a person this year. I grew closer to Hashem. And it was a good year. So it's not the year she would have asked for. Definitely not. No one asked for that, Lo'aleinu, but it was a good year. It was a very, very good year for her. And it came out a good year. It was a correct year. Every person has the mode of that in their life, that when we look back, we see that things came out in a way that I would have never believed it would be like this, but it's taka better than I thought. Right? If we open ourselves up to it, and if we open ourselves up to what happens to us, and if we can be honest in what's happened to us, and look at it in a non-worried way, we'll see that no, this is taka. I didn't know this. I had no idea what Kamtei Shatar. Never in years anything of Kamtei Shatar. 12 years later, Baruch Hashem, doing good, I have this, who knows? Okay. I want to show how far this goes. The Nefesh HaChaim says there's a lot of different approaches in Hashkafa how to deal with this question. But the question is, listen, if God's taking care of me, so why should you daven to get out of being sick, right? So Nefesh HaChaim's approach is Ein Acharami. Bemes, you shouldn't daven when you're sick because you serve Mechaprim. It's good. Why do you daven? Because it's Tzarashkina. For you, you don't daven, but you daven because it hurts the Rabbanu Shalom. That is Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim is a big safer. It's not a Hakdama to an English book. That's what he said. I haven't seen it in years, and I get a chance to check it, but I'm quite sure that that's what he says, right? My sickness is bad. My sickness is lo aleinu, but no one asks for such things. But it's cleansing me. It's making me a more serious person. Making me a better person. Making me serious. Now, so many people when you speak to them have gone through difficult situations. They see that these sermon brought them to a heightened awareness of what life's all about. Kol achalafi darko. I so why daven and a chanam. But it hurts Hashem. Because I care about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and his pain and my pain, just like a child could be more concerned. And I say one of the Gedolim, many kids, a lot of children didn't have children. So I said the kids themselves were mishdalim with it. Shlomo Zalman was never. The fact that he had, three, four children, didn't have children, was very difficult for him. Right. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can't kaviyachol. It hurts Hashem when we're down. So we dive into it for his sake. But for my sake, the Yisurim, what's wrong? Yeah. That means, even when I'm in a situation which looks problematic, I realize that this is the best matzah for me now. So if that's true, I'm doing for the future. It's stupidity from the perspective of bitachon. Okay. Now, besides the lack of bitachon, that's section one on the Torah thing. Just say two, three more points on the Torah side. Besides the lack of bitachon, worrying too much is a chisaron in hakaras hatov. Hashem has done so much good for all of us, all the time, every situation. Which looked bad and came out good, and everything is good, and you're worried. Where's the karas hatov that everything he's done? In other words, not just bitachon, I read a sefer, Chosav, all of a sudden, I know it's supposed to be, but look at your life. Be makir tov. I would say, a karas hatov starts with hakara, a recognition. I recognize. Recognize the life you have. Recognize that there are things which look bad. I'm really talking to you about brother. I'm speaking about this because it's something I have to mischazik in. I know that's the standard line everybody always says all the time. But I'm telling you, this year specifically, I found in myself as I got older. I worry more than I know. I think I'm a worrier. I see myself more worried than I. That's why I felt I had to talk about it. So it's for me. So no one should think like I'm, I'm talking with all this confidence. Like I know I'm talking to myself. I'm working on it. That's the perspective that this year has been given. More than usual. So, but if you think about the Hakaras HaTov, Hakara, What's your life? So why are you doing exactly? Why do you think? You think next time the Ebershah is going to be bad to you? It's not going to be good. You have a good life. Certainly, that's easy when it's a smaller crowd. But everybody here, people in yeshiva, you're in yeshiva. Basically, we're healthy. We're doing well. We're growing. We have parnasa. We're alive, you know. Things are bad. He doesn't have a chazakah by you. He hasn't done a good job. He's done a good job. So it's a lack. Us being worried is just like not. It's just not just bitachon. It's like a lack of hakar satov for the good that we've had. And finally, on that side is another point. I heard this from my Rebbe Reb Leichter one time. A phenomenal point. He says when you think about it, David HaMelech, when he says he's ready to take on Goliath. Right. So David was the youngest of the brothers. He wasn't a battler. He just came. He was with the Hatzon, and he came to visit his brothers, and no one could stand up to Goliath. And finally, this short, we imagine even scrawny person comes over to Shaul and says, "I'll do it." You know, Shaul looks at him and says, "What in the world are you talking about? How are you going to take on Goliath? You against Goliath?" And that was the David and Goliath story of history. You're going to take on Goliath? I mean, come on. So he says, "No, I could do it." So the first thing he said. I like to tell people when I have more time. You know, people say, of course, he said, you know, as Hashem. The first thing he says is, Gamas Ari, Gamas Adol Pika Avdecha. The first thing David HaMelech says is, then he brings in the Ron Shalom afterwards, Gamas Ari, Gamas Adol Pika Avdecha. I killed a lion when came to the time to the sheep, and I took it and I destroyed it, right? And a dove came, a bear came. Imagine, David took on a dove, took on a bear, took on a lion. Gamas Ari, Gamas Adol Pika Avdecha. I know how to fight, I know how to battle, I've took on big people in the past. And I did it, I was Matzlich. So Rav Leichter says that a person, when one faced with nisayon, they have to find in themselves the reserves that they have done it. And that makes it so much for you, how can I stand up this? You have done it. You have. You know. So, of course, it's Bezos Hashem, obviously. But Lemaisa, you find in yourself that you have a wherewithal, and you have an ability, and you have strength, and you have cough, and you've done things in your life. So the same thing, when we're doing too much, we're giving up on ourselves. You haven't stood up to nisyonos. You haven't stood up to different difficult things. You haven't performed well. You've done it. No, believe in yourself. Just like you have to have a kara, so to speak, in the bonus shalom on his own. You have to have a kara in the abilities he's given you that you have done it. So when you're worrying, you're being called for in that. So those are three nekudas, I'd say, on the Torah perspective. Besides the six we said in seichos, bitachon kipshuto, a kara satov for all the good, and an honest awareness of our own abilities. So where does this leave us? So just in terms of some action items to make it a little more practical for ourselves, obviously it's a big avoda. It's not about, you know, 1.5-hour talk, but we have to realize, let's say like this, the first step of 4 action steps, which maybe will be helpful to work on this important midah, that daiga comes from a lower part of me. That's the aleph. Daiga is from a lower part of me, worry. I want to be a sichli tardika person. And that's a decision. That's the aleph. You know, we could sit in our one. We could either disagree with the shir or agree. If we agree with the shir, that means we hold to be a Torah seichel person, which we all want to be. Means I'm not so worried. A Torah person is not worried. So that's the first thing. Is I make a decision that I don't want to be. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a lower level person. I'm gonna be finished in a minute. I don't be a lower level person. Two, I have to get out of the habit. Right. It's not enough to know, but I realize that as much as we've been worrying, it's a bad habit. It's a habit, you know? A lot of chasrona, it's a habit. Herigel, the Gur Aryeh says, Herigel sholet al kol. Habit controls everything. Habit controls us, right? So it takes a lot of work there for to get out of it. I have to eradicate the machshavas and recognize the worry pattern, and I have to go through it to myself. I have a bad habit, right? Three, I have to mechazi myself with the right thoughts. I have to get rid of the wrong thoughts, which are worry thoughts. I have to mechazi myself with the right thoughts. And four, I got to keep learning about bitachon. Chovos halavos, all the sources. You have to think about it, right? So it's decision. It's getting out of the habit of thinking in a worried way, which means like turning off your brain, you know, thinking in the positive thoughts. And finally, to learn about bitachon. So we're just going to finish with, I want to say, a Rashi, a statement of Rabbi Solanta, and a story that I recently heard. So the first of all, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says in Devarim, "Tamim tiyem Hashem lakach." We have to be wholehearted with Hashem. What does it mean? Rashi says, "Hashem hitalech imo." Go with him, b'tmimut, with wholeheartedness. B'tetzap elo, right? Look to him. Below tachkor achar atidos, and don't be choker into the future. Don't be choker into the future. Ela kol mashi yavi alecha. Everything he brings on you, kabel b'tmimus. Right, then just accept it. Right, that sums up everything we're saying. And then you'll be with him. And there's a big Yerushalmi tzaddik called Yosel Tzenvertz, you say, you see from Rashi that that's the key to Siyata Dishmaya. Tia Imo B'chelka, if a person doesn't worry and he has bitachon, so then you'll be his chelik. Means you'll have Siyata Dishmaya. Things will go well for you. When the more we can eradicate worry and put ourselves in a matzav of tmimut, then we'll have Siyata Dishmaya. Two, Rabbi Sorrel Salanter said, all daiga is aser, except the daiga and daiga. You're not allowed to worry about anything except worrying about worrying. Our only real problem, like, you know, like Kennedy said, you know, or FDR, you know, the only thing we really got to be worried about is our worry. If we get rid of it, we can get rid of that. We're not, there's nothing really to worry about besides the fact we worry. And finally, I heard a wonderful story recently. Everyone in Yerushalayim knows this farm store, Shankies. A store in Rameme area, Shankies. A very known farm store. Lo Leinu. Very recently, the owner's wife passed away, Weiner. That's the name. Her name was Weiner. So Rabbi Gottesman was at the shiva, and he heard the husband quoting his wife, the fellow sitting shiva. So he says, he was obviously racked with worry the last, you know, months, last tekufa. And she said to him, what are you so worried about? If I'm going to get better, it wasn't worth it to be worried. And if I'm not going to get better, so let's enjoy our last time together. And Mamish, that story says everything we're saying in some way. If, you know, it could be it's going to be better, and we're better. If not, why not, you know, live life? So, my friends, worrying doesn't pay. Yeah, so we have to kick the habit together. That was what we hope to elucidate today. And thank you for listening. That's Lacha Rabba before Yom Kippur. Thank you for coming. You know,